ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 55 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्ण इंट्रोडक्शन। Shri Shukadev Goswami continued. I'll just read. Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudev, and having full faith in Vasudev's words, he refrained from killing his sister. Vasudev, being pleased with Kamsa, pacified him further and entered his own house. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport. Although Kamsa was a sinful demon, he believed that Vasudev would never deviate from his word. The character of a pure devotee like Vasudev is such that even so great a demon as Kamsa firmly believed in his words and was satisfied. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchan sarver gunestat samasate sura. Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse. All good attributes are present in a devotee, so much so that even Kamsa believed in Vasudev's words without a doubt. Om ajnana timirandhasya jnanan. Hare Krishna. Mukham karoti vachalam panghum langayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri guru dinathaninim. So first of all, seeking the blessings of all the devotees before we discuss something on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Translation. Shri Shukadev Goswami continued, Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudev, and having full faith in Vasudev's word, he refrained from killing his sister. Vasudev, being pleased with Kamsa, pacified him further and entered his own house. So reading this beautiful section from the Srimad Bhagavatam, as we were hearing the last few days, very wonderful classes where how our Vasudevji is trying to convince Maharaj Kamsa to leave Devaki, spare Devaki's life and free them from this calamity, the upcoming calamity which had come upon them. And we discussed, and the devotees very beautifully analyzed the various reasons which Vasudev gave, that this body is temporary and various other reasons which he gave. And finally, here in this verse, Shukadev Goswami is saying that Kamsa got finally convinced and he lets Devaki and Vasudev go. And so in the purport, Prabhupada very beautifully makes this point that Vasudev, the character of a pure devotee like Vasudev is such that even a great demon like Kamsa had faith that Vasudev has said that he will give his all sons, so then he will do it. So with that faith that Kamsa had in Vasudev, he let Devaki go. And another point which Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport is that just by being in touch or being Krishna consciousness, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarver gunestatir samasadisura. The Prabhupada quotes this verse saying that all good attributes are present in a devotee. So these are the two points which I thought we will discuss. The first thing is that the responsibility which a devotee has, how, and the second point is the power of association with Krishna, that all the good qualities automatically manifest. So we'll see these two things. The first is how as devotees, There is a great responsibility upon each one of us, because the society looks upon us and have complete faith that herein, even to a personality like Kamsa, who's completely demoniac, full of sense gratification, even he had faith in the words of Vasudev. So it's a great responsibility for each one of us as practicing sadhakas, as devotees, to come up to the standards that even the demons and everyone in the society accepts us and is ready to accept what we give them. It's like here, our Kams is accepting. And Prabhupada would always say that my devotees are perfect gentlemen. So it's a great responsibility. And also, all these Vaishnav, it is the Vaishnav, the qualities which a devotee exhibits actually, that makes him, makes his beauty enlighten or lighten up in front of the society, and then the society accepts. So when a devotee is behaving in a way, accepting or exemplifying those Vaishnav qualities, then the society in general would accept that devotee, and then our preaching could be effective. Like here, Vasudev's, in one sense, is preaching to Kams, and it could be effective. So similarly, our six Goswamis also, they were, as we read in the Shad Goswami Ashram, that they were had, even the ruffians and the gentle, they had complete faith and they had love for the six Goswamis. So that is the level which we are. And then that's the only way we can reach out to masses, by preaching through our own example. As Mahaprabhu would always say that to Haridas Thakur, that you are preaching through your example and preaching through your words. So it's the preaching through example is very, very important. And this practice, our sincere practice, will actually give faith in the society, in this process of Krishna consciousness, in this, the whole bhakti marg. The people will get faith when they see devotees practicing bhakti and exhibiting these Vaishnav qualities in a most beautiful way. So therefore, it is very, very important, as when we dress ourselves as devotees, we show these wonderful qualities so that the devotees and society in general can accept us and have faith in the process. And even Mahaprabhu, when he came as the supreme most devotee, he exhibited wonderful qualities, and he was very, very careful of the reputation. Not in the mundane sense, as sadhus, as preachers, we have to be also very, very careful about our reputation, because once a sadhu loses his reputation, people will not have faith in what he is speaking. So therefore, as practicing sadhus, it is a great responsibility to have a clean reputation where people in general can accept what you speak. What we speak will have an effect when people see we are practicing those virtues. So that is very, very important. Therefore, Mahaprabhu, even to the extent of setting an example, when it was time to meet Maharaj Pratap Rudra, many, many devotees, his intimate circle devotees, were requesting him, please meet Mahaprabhu. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he's a great devotee, but Mahaprabhu would say he's a Vishayi. He said that famous words which he quotes, that Shukla Vastre Masi Bindu Yachena Lukai Sanyasira Alpa Chidra Sarva Lokagaya, that even a small spot on a white cloth is easily visible. So even a small mistake which a sadhu does or which a devotee does, the whole world actually, when we were working, we would remember, or those who are working can see that people aren't seeing that he is following Krishna consciousness, he's having a kanti, he's having a tilak, how is he behaving? They are looking with a microscope to see some fault in him, and then point it out, hey, you are doing like this, you are a devotee, you are practicing sadhaka, you are wearing kanti mala, how can you do this? So people are looking with that. So if we have to preach to them and we have to attract the greater masses of people, then we have to express. And it is therefore very, very essential to, by serious practice of Krishna consciousness, we develop these wonderful Vaishnav qualities as herein by Vasudeva, which will give in the faith to the common people. And in society of devotees also it is very, very essential, and how careful we should be in presenting these qualities. One small story which is there in the Journey Home book, is continuing from where Radha Vallabhu left, that beautiful story, just a small story, where Maharaj is in Vrindavan in one of the ashrams, he's staying there, and one of the other Western devotee named David, he comes there, and Maharaj and he becomes very close friends with him. And then in the ashram where he was staying, then a few guests came, he's from East Bengal, Jagannath, and his name was Jagannath, and five others, they were there. And so they met Maharaj and David, and so he was having a camera, David, so they asked, requested, would you like to, can you please take a picture of us? So then, that time, David told Maharaj that I just have only one shot remaining. Previously that reels would come, that Kodak reels where 24 films or whatever number of films could be taken. So he had just one shot remaining. So he said, I have preserved this for something very valuable, so I don't want to like take this picture here. So I'll just make a show of like just flashing the flash and not actually take the picture. So he did that. And the next day, when Maharaj was there, he sees that Jagannath is crying, standing in a corner and he's weeping tears. So then Maharaj asked another devotee why he's crying. So then he said, because of what you did yesterday, he is crying. So Maharaj was shocked, what we did yesterday that he's crying. So then Maharaj goes to Jagannath and asks him that, why are you crying? So then he begins to actually cry, and he said, I didn't expect such a behavior from a devotee. He said that you cheated us. Beautiful words. He says that you are a devotee of Krishna. How could you treat another human being with such indignity? Don't you know Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the principle of Trinadapi Sunichena? And then he goes on to explain that duplicity is a terrible disease. And with that, tears came in his eyes and he just left that place. And of course, he further again says, actually, I trusted you as a devotee, but you have disappointed my expectations. Therefore, I cry. And he said, actually, I am crying for you, not for me, because you know so little. A real devotee would not treat anyone cheaply. And then he embraced Maharaj and left. So the point which he is making here is that it's a great responsibility of each one of the devotees, how we deal amongst ourselves and in the society in general. That will bring faith in the process, and that will glorify Srila Prabhupada. As we will see later on in one of the beautiful episodes, how our behavior will glorify the Supreme Lord and the whole parampara. Therefore, it is very, very important. And Radhanath Maharaj beautifully in that episode writes a beautiful lesson. I'll just read that. That such an insignificant transgression would be hardly noticed in the outside world. But in devotional culture, soft-heartedness and integrity are held sacred. What really is culture of devotion? It is so very subtle, but it fertilizes the field of the heart so that the seed of true love may grow. So these Vaishnava qualities, these Vaishnava achar, actually fertilizes the field of the heart, and then in which the seed of bhakti can be sown. So therefore it is very, very essential, and it's a great responsibility, as we see from the life of Vasudev. He was so responsible that even a demon like Kamsa is ready to accept what he is saying. So then our words would be taken seriously if we lead that responsible life. And another point which Srila Prabhupada in this purport is making is the principle of association. How by association one can acquire these wonderful Vaishnava qualities, as Prabhupada quotes that yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, that just by associating with Krishna, or for a devotee, all the godly qualities of demigods are manifest. So just by being in touch with Krishna, we can actually acquire these Vaishnava qualities, as also it is said. When we serve a person who has that qualities, we get those qualities by serving that. So Sri Krishna, who is the reservoir of all these wonderful qualities to the fullest extent, so when we serve him, when we come in contact with him, through the process of chanting, through the process of hearing about Him, through the process of worshipping Him in the form of Archavigraha, in the worshipping in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, and visiting His holy dhams. By coming in touch with Krishna, we can actually develop these qualities. When can the anarthas which are actually covering those qualities will be destroyed. As we read, that whenever we read those pastimes of Krishna culling a particular demon, the demon, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, that this demon represents this, or different demons represent different anarthas which are there in our heart. So when we hear those pastimes, that particular anartha is being washed off, is being killed, as Radhavala Prabhu was beautifully explaining, that no need to look for demoniac people outside. Both these qualities are within, actually. The demonic and the divine qualities are within. So when we read these pastimes, as we will be reading and we'll be discussing tomorrow, these wonderful leelas, when we read about those killing of these demons, actually those anarthas which is there in our heart are being killed. And then gradually the beautiful Vaishnav qualities, the ornaments of a Vaishnav will come beautifully in. So this wonderful concept is there, how by coming in touch with the Lord, in some way we can bring forth these most beautiful qualities. So I'll just briefly discuss two wonderful stories from Chaitanya Leela, where this beautiful concept that how by just coming in touch with Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, these wonderful transformations take place. One is the story which we all know about, the how Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu delivers the thieves who had come to rob him. And another, before we conclude, I'll just read some of the transformations effects of our Madhai, how he got transformed and offered such wonderful prayers. I remember Braj Bihari Prabhu one time very beautifully described this episode of offering the prayers of deliverance of Jagai Madhai, and then he was relating those beautiful qualities and prayers of Madhai. So we'll just conclude with that. And so continuing further on that pastime, so Nityananda Prabhu has instructed by Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri that you go and preach in Navadvip. And one time he came to Navadvip and he came to meet Shachi Mata. Very, very happy Shachi Mata. When she sees Nityananda Prabhu, she is very, very happy and she tells that, "I've been waiting for you. I was just thinking about you. You are like the super soul. You have just come now and give your darshan." And so Nityananda Prabhu says that, "I have come actually to be blessed by you. You are the mother of the universe. And I have come here and I want to live here to get more of your association." And in this way, Nityananda Prabhu was staying in Navadvip, performing his wonderful preaching programs and pastimes, and some of times he would dress as Bal Gopal, acting as Krishna. He would walk, and Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that he would wear very, very beautiful jewels of pearls and necklaces, and he will have beautiful gold and pearl earrings and bangles and bracelets, very, very beautiful, and he would dress very, very opulently, and gold rings on all the 10 fingers with diamonds studded. So in a very, very like a beautiful and opulent way, he would be dressed in Navadvip. So in this way, he was residing very, very happily. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explained that there are many, many devotees who were staying in Navadvip. But at the same time also, there were some miscreants or non-devotees who were there to put trouble there. So they were also staying there. And one such was a Brahmana. Of course, Jagai Madhai were also Brahmana. Here was another Brahmana, young Brahmana, who got corrupted. And he became a thief. And not only a thief, he became the leader, commander-in-chief, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, of all the thieves and rogues in that area. And he was committing all kinds of sins, illicit activities, and stealing, murdering, raping, all the activities, sins he was performing. And he became very, very famous in that area. But when he saw Nityananda Prabhu, he was attracted by the beauty of the Lord. And then he saw the jewel, he was more attracted. So then he thought, maybe this could be the last, and this could make me most rich. And he was ready for that. And so he made friendship with Nityananda Prabhu, and he would walk with Nityananda Prabhu and see what he's doing, where he's going. And he would so he analyzed the whole thing, that he stays in the house of Hiranya Pandit, and all those, so plans were ready. Like a spy, he made the whole design and plan of the thievery, how he would execute that. And so then with this plan, he goes back and gets all his friends, thieves' friends, and collects them, those who were his assistants. He get them in job and said, sharpen your swords and knives and get ready, and we will attack Nityananda this night and collect all this wealth, and we will be satisfied and happy. So they all become ready, sharpen their swords, and everything is ready. And so they go out to the house of Hiranya Pandit, where Nityananda Prabhu was accepting his dinner prasadam. And so they go, he sends one spy, they see he's taking dinner now. Says, okay, let him take rest now, and then we will attack him. So they are all ready to go and meditating on the ornaments, and they have all seen Nityananda Prabhu. So they all, that time itself, they started, oh, I'll take the bracelet, I'll take this, I'll take the anklets, I'll take the earrings. In this way, they are fighting among themselves. So then that's how actually the material pleasure of this world is. You're thinking, I'll enjoy this, I will enjoy this, let me do get this. That's, we see, that's the pleasure in this world is in just contemplation. When you get the actual object, Maya Devi covers you, and then you are unable to even enjoy that facility. We will see here in this beautiful episode also. The demons, they are thinking, oh, I'll enjoy this earrings, I'll sell it and I'll get money. So having his own plans to enjoy just seeing the opulence of the Lord. And he wanted to, they wanted the Lord's opulence without the Lord. So they were like attempting to enjoy the property of the Lord. So then in this way they are fighting and then thinking and discussing. And amazing, by the will of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they all just fell asleep fighting like that. So in this way, they were all completely, Vrindavanadas Thakur explained that, bewildered by the illusory energy. They were thinking they would enjoy, but they were unable to enjoy. They just completely slept. So that's how the material nature is tricking us. We'll think, I'll enjoy this, I will get this, and then I will be happy. I'll get this, and I'll be happy. I get this, and I'll be happy. Let me get this job, let me get more wealth, let me get more prestige, let me have more followers, and I'll be happy, and I'll be more satisfied. But Nidra Devi or Maya Devi is tricking this way and then making us forget the real purpose. So they just also forgot the real purpose, why they had come. They slept the whole night, and the next day morning they got up, and then they were fighting. Hey, you slept first, you slept first, you slept first. That's how this world is, that we are thinking, I'll enjoy this position, I'll enjoy this position, I'll get this, I'll get this. And then they're fighting to grab that. I'll get this, no? Competition, so much, like, hankerings. I don't know, we were discussing yesterday with a devotee that how there's material, everyone is hankering. He was explaining how in Andhra, the devotees, or the people in general are hankering. He was giving that formula, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They want a 5-digit salary, 4, what is that, 4? 5-digit salary and what are the four? No. 3-room apartment, 4-wheeler, 3-room apartment, and 2 children and 1 wife. So hankering for that. That's how people all over. He was giving the example of Andhra, but that's true all over the world. Just looking for 5-digit salary, 4-wheeler, 3-bedroom apartment, 2 children and 1 wife. So that's running after that. And then Maya is covering. And then finally you go to sleep, working hard, nothing in hand. So they were working hard, the demon, the thieves, they were working hard, but nothing in hand. Finally they slept. And then when they get up, they decide fighting with each other. So that's how tremendous competition is there in the world. Same thing happening. And then they get up, go to Ganga. That's fortunately they go to Ganga and take their bath. And then they go to Ganga, take bath, and come back. And so then the leader says, okay, no, I'll make a plan. Don't worry, we did some mistake probably. We didn't worship Chandi Devi properly. Therefore, we need to go back, worship Chandi and come again. So that's how the leaders are, that demoniac leaders. No. Let us make arrangements to enjoy differently. We will have different arrangements and we will make this way. We will have this policy, this rule and this plans, various plans. And then ultimately, they go and worship Chandi. Of course, that parallel of worshiping Chandi is like looking for more like technology or more like different aspects of material opulences, trying to grab them and go through that procedure to become happy. But unfortunately, they cannot be. And then, so the next day they come there, they see another opulence of Nityananda Prabhu. There are huge guards who are sitting or who are walking outside the house when Nityananda Prabhu is laying asleep, and the guards are walking. Yeah, like a huge size guards wearing beautiful garlands and having chandan and ornaments and armors and arms with them, and they're walking loudly and chanting Hari Hari. In this way they're walking, and they were like the thieves. They were seeing this wonderful opulence which Nityanand Prabhu is exhibiting. They were bewildered, and they started discussing, what is this? And some of them said, probably Nityanand is God, because these guards are guarding. But there's another person said, no, he can't be God. He's dressing like one of us. How can he be God? He eats like one of us. That's the foolishness of this world. People, when even Krishna shows his opulence, his wealth, we are unable to understand. And then finally we see what it takes for us to understand Krishna, how they will be beaten. That's what sometimes we need, the beating, to understand Krishna's opulence, unfortunately. Of course, as I think Radhavallabha or Radhigolpa was making that point, that sometimes a mother has to slap to teach. I think Radhavallabha was making that point yesterday, that sometimes mother has to sleep, but that's also his love, as we will see in this episode how. So they are seeing the opulence of Nityanand Prabhu, but still unable to accept. So we are also seeing so many beautiful things happening in this world, but unfortunately unable to accept the supremacy of the Lord. We see so many beautiful events happening all around us. If we just see with our open eyes, we can see actually Krishna everywhere. The clouds floating in the air. So many things. Just a beautiful flower. We can see such fragrance, such colors, such beautiful design. No scientist can manufacture. Even spending hundreds of scientists for hundreds of years, they can't even come close to that. So that opulence Krishna is showing. So these thieves, they were seeing that opulence, but they were covered with the desire to enjoy. So they could not see. So then they had to be given a different treatment, which they could see. So finally they decides, okay. So then one of them said, no, probably some big person has come to see him and they are his guards. So then they will go. So let us just go back for 10 days and then we'll come back again here. So they returned home and come back after some days, seeing a good muhurat, that now is a good time, probably we can get the booty. So they come here, and by Nityanand Prabhu's arrangement, that was one of the darkest nights, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, and they could not see anything. And amazingly, they became blind that time. And then it's described that they were trying to see each other and running here and there, unable to see. They became blind. And one of them fell in a trench which was covered with mosquitoes, leeches. Another fell into a pit where people would hand wash, and there were scorpions and bugs. Another fell in a heap of thorns. So in this way, each one was tormented in a different way. So similarly, Maya Devi is tormenting each one of us in a different way. She has a different package for each one of us, because we cannot see Krishna's opulence and understand Krishna's supremacy. So here Nityanand Prabhu is giving. And Indradev, he became very happy that they are troubling my master. They want to steal my master. So he just also showers heavy rains and thunders, and they are more getting tormented. So that's how material nature sees. When she sees these people are not surrendering to my master, they are not serving my master, who is most worshipable. So then she also, through her trident, through her three modes, through her trivid tap, is pinching us. And then finally, by the mercy of Nityanand, that is the beauty of this pastime, is the mercy of Nityanand Prabhu comes forth. And then somehow by the mercy of Nityanand Prabhu, that sinful leader who was there, the Brahmana, he had a sudden change of heart. And he began to think, Nityanand is an ordinary man. He must be God. And I must surrender unto him. And he remembers the lotus feet of the Lord. And illusory energy immediately withdraws. Indradev immediately stops the rainfall. That's how beautiful the process is. As soon as we take shelter of Krishna, we remember the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, all these miserable conditions are immediately pulled away. Immediately, as soon as he was thinking, he didn't even come out of the pit. The scorpions were there, the bugs were there, the thorns were there, but he was experiencing satisfaction, happiness, and he was feeling a relief just by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord frees one from all danger, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains. And yeah, Vrindavan Das Thakur beautifully explains that taking shelter of this lotus feet instantly relieves even a most grave offender. When all the thieves began to think like this, then they regained their eyesight. That's how the vision comes. Then we can see the world actually through the right perspective when we get the mercy of the Lord. And then they returned home and took bath in Ganga. That's something good And then the Brahmana chief, he realized in the night that I have done a grave offense and I should go and beg forgiveness from Nityananda Prabhu. And he goes to Nityananda Prabhu, who's there with all his devotees, and ecstatic kirtan was dancing and chanting is going on. Someone is loudly chanting, someone is dancing. And then he, in between the kirtan, he immediately goes and just falls off on the feet of Nityananda Prabhu. Please save me, please save me. He offered his obeisances, his hair standing on end, ecstatic symptoms erupted. And all the devotees, they were thinking, what is happening? In the middle of a kirtan, he just suddenly comes and offers his obeisances. And some of them are thinking, probably he wants to, like, again play a trick and cheat and take all the ornaments and all those things. But then he begins to offer these wonderful prayers. And of course, Nityananda Prabhu asks, what do you want? And then he says that, please save me, my Lord. Tears of love flowed and he started shivering. He went into a rapture and seeing the power of Nityananda Prabhu, he was amazed. He raised his hands and repeatedly said, oh, my dear Nityananda, you are the savior of the fallen. So that's what we have to do. We have to cry out to Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Balaramji, that you are the savior of the fallen. And then there is hope. He was crying out loudly, oh, Nityananda, you are the savior of the fallen. So in this way, he was crying. And then Nityananda Prabhu smilingly, he just asked him, what do you want? I am very surprised to see your wonderful qualities. And the pious Brahmana, he became, Vrindavanadas Thakur said, the pious Brahmana. Previously he would say like a fallen Brahmana. Vrindavanadas Thakur said, the pious Brahmana was unable to utter a word. He began to cry. He rolled on the ground. He laughed, cried, danced in his own way. And finally the Brahmana came, calmed down and narrated the whole story that I had come here to steal. The first day this happened, the second day this. And by your mercy now, I am able to see the reality. And then in this way he begs forgiveness. And it is by your mercy that we have regained. This is the glory of remembering you. He glorifies the remembrance of Nityananda Prabhu. And you are the only maintainer. And he gives that various examples that how a person who falls down on the earth, it's the Mother Earth who actually helps one to get up. So my dear Master, I have offended you. So you only can save me, protect me and help me. And then Nityananda Prabhu is very, very pleased. And he said that, he said that you have been forgiven. I will take all your sins. But now further on, you should not commit any sins. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has incarnated to deliver all the fallen souls. There is no doubt about it. He's telling, oh Brahmana, I'll take your sinful reactions, but you must not sin again. From now on, do not steal, plunder, violence, or do anything. Lead a pious life, always chanting the holy names of Hari. And then you'll be able to deliver others. Gather all the thieves, plunderers together and preach them to lead a pious life. So he makes him a preacher of Krishna consciousness. And Nityananda took off his garland and happily put his garland on the Brahmana. And everyone loudly chanting Jai Jai. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu liberated that Brahmana. And then he was again and again still crying, oh Nityananda Prabhu, the savior of the fallen. Oh Nityananda Prabhu, the savior of the fallen. And then Nityananda Prabhu personally placed his lotus feet on his head. So then all of them, devotees, began to chant the holy names. And then that devotee, the thief, the Brahmana, he went out and preached to his fellow thieves and murderers and other leaders and then makes them devotees and makes a beautiful association of thieves' devotees. So, and then Vrindavanadas Thakur explains that one who hears with attention the deliverance of these thieves will certainly meet with Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu. One who happily sings the glories of Nityananda will float in the ocean of transcendental bliss. So in this way, this beautiful episode takes place, how by the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, even a person who was thief, who was completely covered by illusory energy, engaged in so many sinful activities, was so beautifully delivered that he became a preacher of Krishna consciousness. So similarly, Many of us have come with that background, stealing Krishna's properties, trying to enjoy Krishna's beauty, trying to enjoy Krishna's nature. And so the only hope for us is to surrender. If we do not, then we'll have to go through the same procedure, to be thrown into the ditches, getting beaten up by the scorpions, and then we can, by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu's representative, Srila Prabhupada, actually we can be delivered. So it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada also, accepting the same mood of Nityananda Prabhu, he went out to the Western world and he saw those thieves. People are living like worse than thieves, actually committing all the hippies, committing all types of sins. Prabhupada, giving Mahaprabhu's mercy, delivered them and gave them and made them big, big preachers of Krishna consciousness. That's what Nityananda Prabhu did here. And Srila Prabhupada did the similar thing, went out to the West, converted thieves, rogues, hippies, and fallen people to the stalwart preachers of Krishna consciousness. And that is the glory of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the key. So then we'll see another beautiful episode, how just another beautiful episode where the association of Sri Nityananda Prabhu transformed the life of Jagai and Madai. We all know the background of Jagai and Madai. Unfortunately, many times Maharaj was mentioning that when we present in the Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning when we present them in dramas, it's not the actual portrayal. We just make them a fool. But they were like actually very hardcore criminals, and they were drunk all the time, but then they were conscious and they had their pakka senses, and they were like very professional killers and everyone was afraid of them. They were not like fools many times as we saw in them just walking around, moving around and throwing things, and they're not knowing what is happening. They were like very, very like pakka criminals, and like the gangsters, they're also very, very small. They were very like to the high degree. They were like more professional and more like well-to-do criminals. They were there. So that's what Nityananda Prabhu and Mahaprabhu approached them, and we know the story how Madhai hit the Lord, but the Lord still gave him mercy and gave him forgiveness. So when Madhai became a devotee, he was constantly chanting Jagai also. They became very wonderful Vaishnavas, and by the grace of Mahaprabhu. But then they were, in their hearts, they were always feeling that we were such rascals, we were committing violence to so many people, we troubled so many people. So that feeling was there in their hearts, deep rooted, especially Madhai. He was thinking that I hit the body of Nityananda Prabhu, the most merciful Lord. So he was like always in that great agony. So in one time, when Nityananda Prabhu was there, was walking in the streets of Navadvip, he met Madhai. Madhai looked for an opportunity when Nityananda Prabhu was alone. So then he went to him and expressed his heart that I have heard Nityananda Prabhu, and he's telling, my dear Nityananda, I have heard you. I have heard Nityananda Prabhu drawing blood from you. In your body resides Lord Chaitanya, and yet I am so sinful that I struck with such a personality. So sinking like this, Madhai just fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and embracing his lotus feet with tears of his eyes, he washed Nityananda Prabhu's feet. In complete humility, he began to offer wonderful prayers. I'll just read some of the prayers which will set a beautiful mood for Balaram Chanti, as we will see how wonderfully Madhai actually glorifies Sri Nityananda Balaram. And of course, that purport which we are reading is that how wonderful qualities come upon one who practices devotional service. We can see from these wonderful prayers and the lives of Jagai and Madhai after their transformation how they were exhibiting such wonderful humility and Vaishnav qualities. So that is the transformation, the process of bhakti, which can lead to just by being in touch with Krishna through the holy name, through the devotees. So in this way, Madhai began to offer his wonderful prayers. He first of all begins to glorify Nityanand Prabhu for his position. He's saying, O Lord, as Vishnu, you maintain the universe. As Anantashesh, you hold the entire cosmic manifestation. You are the embodiment of devotional service. And Lord Shankar and his consort Parvati Devi constantly meditate upon you. Devotional service to the Lord is exclusively your property. And thus, it is your prerogative to grant anyone the eligibility for devotional service. No one is dearer to you than Lord Chaitanya. No one is dearer to Lord Chaitanya than you. That is our hope, the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Madhai is saying here that there is no one dear to Lord Chaitanya than Nityananda Prabhu, who is none different from Sri Balaramji. And by your grace, then he gives the examples of various devotees who were blessed by the Lord Nityananda to engage in the service. Nityananda Prabhu, he is the original spiritual master. He represents the Guru Tattva. And through him, through his mercy, we can get engaged in service through the mercy of Sri Balaramji. So he's remembering that by your grace, the Garuda participates in Krishna's pastimes as the Lord's carrier. With your unlimited mouths, you constantly chant Krishna's glory and expounding the process of devotional service. By your mercy, Devarishi Narada experiences inestimable bliss by chanting your glories. You only and most treasured, your only treasured possession is Lord Chaitanya. You are famous as one who forced Jamunaji to change her course and flow according to your desire. So in this way, he's glorifying. By being the original person, the supreme personality, as proclaimed by the Vedas, you embody the essence of all the scriptures. You are the greatest of the mystics. You are Lakshman, the valorous prince and the divine father of all the living entities. This is the beautiful prayers which he is offering and the wonderful services of Nityananda Prabhu. You are the vanquisher of the demons and the atheistic forces, the supreme enjoyer of the mellows, the foremost spiritual guide. You are well-versed with all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Mahamaya, your external energy has become worshipable by the entire universe just because she has served you. The entire cosmic manifestation seeks shelter given by the shade of your lotus feet. You are fully devoted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are the proficient propagator of the path of devotional service. You are the sum total of all the potencies of Lord Chaitanya. You expand yourself as Chaitanya's bed, throne, resting place, umbrella. You are his very life and soul. So in this way, Nityananda Prabhu expands, Sri Balaramji expands in all his paraphernalia of Krishna to assist him, to facilitate the Lord's pastimes. And that's what the spiritual master does. He's actually, in the spiritual world, assisting Krishna and the Radharani in the service, and as representatives of Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Balaramji, the spiritual master engages the devotee in the same wonderful process. And in this way, Madhai is glorifying that you, in the form of Rudra, actually dissolves the whole universe ultimately. Your body gives greatest pleasure to Krishna when you expand in the form of bed. And he's saying, that same body which gives pleasure to Krishna, I, that monstrous, sinful person, I heard the same very transcendental body of yours. Your transcendental, in this way, he's now glorifying the form which he hid. Your form, transcendental form, is constantly worshipped by Shiva, accompanied by Parvati. And simply by remembering your form, one is freed from all bondage. I hid that same, made that same spiritual body to bleed. Chitraketu, the famous emperor, was living most happily by worshipping you and counted among the foremost Vaishnava devotees. The same form which is worshipped by the entire universe was brutally hit by me, the lowest of the sinners. In this way, Madhai, humility is being seen through his wonderful prayers. And then he's thinking how, when Nityananda Prabhu appeared in the past incarnation, how he reacted or how he acted with different demons. So he's saying that what will happen to me? The sages of Naimisharanya, they are meditating on your form as Lakshman. You were wounded, as Lakshman, you were wounded by Indrajit, and for this you killed him. And when you came as Balaramji, you killed the gorilla demon prematurely, and also you killed our What is that? The demon, when he came, Rukmi, when he came, he insulted you and you killed him. So in this way, and Romaharshan Sut also, the sages even though blessed him, but he offended you, you killed him. So now for disregarding your words, the whole dynasty of Kurus was about to be killed. And once, he's saying that one's very life is at stake for just a little disrespect shown towards you, then to what depths of depravity and hell must I enter? Because all these people, Duryodhan and Romaharshan Sut, they just disrespected through words. So they were killed. So he's thinking, what will be my destination? Which hell I would have to suffer? Speaking this way, Madhai, overwhelmed with Krishna prema, in ecstasy, he fell down to the ground, clutching the Lord's lotus feet, shedding tears. Who can save, the shelter of lotus feet can save anyone from endless cycle of birth? So in this way, he's crying and crying. Nityanand Prabhu smiled, hearing the wonderful prayers of Madhai. Oh, Madhai, arise, you are my servitor. I now reside within your body. And is the father disturbed if the little child hits him? So I take your killing like a child hitting the father. I am not disturbed. I am very, very pleased with your blessings. What better blessings you can ask for? So in this way, Nityanand Prabhu then advises him that, Madhai, you go and construct a bathing ghat on the Ganga to the residence of Nadia, take bath, because Madhai expresses in wonderful prayers that I feel the remorse that I've killed, offended so many people, and I don't know, most of the time I was intoxicated, whom I offended, so many people that I don't recognize them. So how would I beg forgiveness from them and get relieved from my sinful activities? Then Mahanityanand Prabhu suggests that is the Guru's responsibility to engage in a way, in a service which will purify. So Nityanand Prabhu suggests that you go and chanting Krishna's holy name. And he began, so he says that, construct a bathing ghat on Ganga so the residents of Nadia can take bath without difficulty. They will fondly think of you for this convenience. This will also be a service to Ganga Devi, who dissolves everyone's sins by her pure water. What better blessings you can ask for? Stand at the bathing ghat and beg for forgiveness from every bather who comes there, praying to them for their blessings. In this way, you can exonerate yourself of all the sins. So Madhai took to heart Nityanand Prabhu's advice. After circumambulating him, offering him all respects, with chanting the holy names of the Lord with tears in his eyes, he would personally began to construct a bathing ghat alone there on the bank of Ganga. When the people saw this sight, Madhai offered prostrated obeisances whosoever came there, and he begged for forgiveness. Please forgive me for all the offenses I have committed knowingly or unknowingly against you, and please think of me gracefully. This is a beautiful point now, just we conclude with this. That's what we were saying in the beginning. Seeing Madhai's humility and devotional mood, the people were happy beyond words and remembered Lord Govinda. Madhai shed tears of love for the Lord while he worked. The word went around. Nimai Pandit has marvelously converted Jagai and Madhai into good pious men. Nimai Pandit is not an ordinary martyr. Evil-minded have ridiculed and criticized Nimai Pandit without knowing him. Nimai Pandit was always actually engaged in performing kirtan. So in this way, the glories of Nimai Pandit spread all over Navadvip. So that is the point we were making, that the Vaishnava qualities, when a devotee exhibits, actually, when we exhibit those Vaishnava qualities in the society, the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, and the whole parampara is to the Supreme Lord is actually glorified. So therefore, it's a great responsibility how we behave in the society. So just by transformation of Madhai and his humility, Mahaprabhu became glorified in the whole of Navadvip. And Madhai finally was leading a very austere life. He became a brahmachari, following strict vows of celibacy and restraint. And in this way, he would spend his time chanting, begging forgiveness, and serving in all the devotees. So just to conclude, I think that, Nityanand Prabhu actually, at the beginning, when Madhai was offering his wonderful prayers. Yeah. Madhai was offering wonderful prayers. Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet on his head and said very beautifully that, "My dear Madhai, you have been forgiven and I have forgiven you and all your sins are gone. And what is more important is that anyone who hears your wonderful and devotional prayers to me will certainly develop loving attachment to my lotus feet." Anyone who hears these prayers of Madhai being offered to Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu himself proclaimed, will develop loving attachment to my lotus feet. So just setting the mood for Sri upcoming Balaram Jayanti tomorrow, we can pray that to the mercy of Sri Balaramji, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, that we can actually lead an exemplary life of a devotee, and so that people can have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, and through our words, through our actions, through our preaching, we can truly glorify Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much for your patient and kind hearing. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Balaram Ji Ki, Shri Nityananda Prabhu Ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Hare Krishna.